Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at Earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Casazza. Days removed from spring football. Still tingly, Chris Anderson. A lot of reviews, not about the spring game, but about our post-game podcast. Got some feedback up to our feedback, kind of explaining some things as to, I would say maybe commendably now, as opposed to curiously, West Virginia did pull together the Pat White, Pat McAfee appearances. Some ideas coming out of Rem Baker's proposed $200 million suite level / press box project. And by the way, the football game wasn't terrible, and it was kind of an exciting thing that perhaps they can grow from. Again, not for us, but for them, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished for us because we got a post-game podcast up a day later, and it was still relevant because people were still pretty happy about it. And I think that's the one thing you take from this. You get 18,000+ people to come to a spring game that you really, that the whole sport world has watered down for how many years in a row. That's a good thing, and you put that to bed and you kind of focus on the next part of your offseason. And here we are now with a lot of people putting that to bed and trying to figure out who's next, what's next for the program, but also for the athletic department now too. Baseball, trying to make a postseason run, basketball, putting its staff and its roster together. Football will have some acquisitions and some departures. So typical to everything else, no real offseason. You just kind of shift to your next phase of the calendar.
Yeah, May used to be one of the slowest months. Like when it first started, when I first started doing this, it was May was just a dead time. There was no football, there was no recruiting, there were no visits, there was nothing. And baseball, unfortunately for the baseball fans out there, baseball was kind of irrelevant at WVU at that time. So nothing really to get excited about during this time of year. And now, like you said, there's all sorts of stuff going on. A lot of portal news. Basketball, putting the roster together. Coaches will also be out, high school, or the football coaches will be out seeing high school players. It is an evaluation period. It'll be a little more condensed for them than usual because of the aforementioned late spring game, but that's good. I mean, I think they actually prefer it that way. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of recruiting stuff going on, a lot of team building stuff going on for all those people who are into that sort of general manager lifestyle of these rosters. It's going to be an important next few weeks for sure.
I don't believe we have a question mark. Excuse me. I don't believe we have a baseball question marked in our mailbag today, correct?
Oh, there was one.
There's one.
Let's wait till we get to that then. I might have missed that because there's some. Again, here's just a cool thing. West Virginia will play Pitt in a baseball game today at PNC Park. And that's happened for a couple of years in a row. And it's, I don't want to say it's an occasion now, but it's not a huge deal because it's become so regular. But man, imagine playing your rival in a major league park, but also your team is a postseason team too. And it's a Tuesday at the end of April in what's supposed to be the dead time of the year. That's pretty enjoyable stuff, I think, for people who used to be really hungry, really thirsty between the end of the spring and the start of preseason football.
Well, the fans seem kind of hungry for some news. We got questions for basketball, football, baseball, recruiting. Not a lot of them, but they're spread out amongst all the topics here. You ready to dive right in?
Yes.
Let's do it. Heck, let's start with baseball since we just mentioned it. WVU Pride 21 asks, barring a collapse, do you feel WVU baseball has enough pitching to make a run through a regional? Seems like a tough ask with only one consistent starting pitcher.
So I would say a yes and a no here, and not to duck you, but the indecisiveness is part of the problem, but part of the promise too. They definitely have talented arms that can get you through a regional. Can they get them all healthy, effective, consistent at once? That has been the task. They just, for one reason or another, they haven't had guys who've been healthy. They get one guy up, one guy down. A starter's out, a starter's back. A reliever's hot, a reliever's shut down. And that's common with everybody. But those teams all have the same thing. They have the capability of arms to do that, and you have to. You're going to, otherwise you're pitching a bullpen game in the elimination round of a regional, and that's not what you want. So you really have to be strong to make those things work, and I think they have that capacity. So if they can get, for example, Aiden Major back rolling again like he was, here's a guy who's got Friday stuff but like midweek numbers and pitched pretty well on Sunday in a start to get a sweep for the team against Baylor in Big 12 play, that's promising. They're going to run Gavin Van Kempen out there tonight in a major league park and against Pitt to see what he can do on a Tuesday. And will they let him throw six or seven innings? I don't know. We'll see. But that's a guy that they really like. Can they extend him in the regionals? Can they heat him up now and get his arm condition to go in, maybe not in huge pressure innings and huge pressure situations, but if he can give you a quality start and beyond on a Tuesday, you check that box. You say, maybe we can get him into a Sunday game in the Big 12. Maybe we can get him into a high leverage situation when it's, you know, it's just 2-2 in the third inning, but you don't like the look of your starter and you need somebody to go in. Because that's kind of the stuff you really need in the regionals too, because you can't afford it to have that 2-2 turn into 7-2, and then you just don't bullpen guys up there. You need somebody who can come in and kind of be your second starter in a game sometimes too. I think they have the arms that can do it. Can they get them all lined up at once? Right now the answer is no, because they haven't, but that's their challenge the rest of the way for sure.
Yeah, on that front with Gavin Van Kempen, I like this idea of trying to ramp him up right before they get to the postseason, because he's a young guy, so you don't want to start throwing him in super early, just right into the fire. But lately he's been picking it up. I'm looking at his last three appearances, about nine innings. I think this is 8 2/3. Zero runs allowed.
Yeah.
Zero. 8 2/3, nine strikeouts, five hits, zero runs. So if they can get him, you know, he's kind of feeling himself right now. He's got some confidence. If they can bump him from this, you know, three inning appearances to maybe a five inning appearance and or a six inning, maybe like, and only giving up like one or two runs or something like that, then obviously you are really boosting what you're capable of doing throughout that rotation. If you can get him to that point, it's tough to put all the pressure on one guy like that, but I think he can be one of those guys, like you said, that just adds that extra arm. And then all of a sudden, it's like every sport. Like once you, if you have somebody here, again, this is for video viewers, it then the guy who would normally be a number two or a number three all of a sudden becomes the four. And if your number three pitcher is your number four pitcher, that makes that stronger and so on and so forth, all the way down the line and all the way through the bullpen. So getting him going right now is key. And I'm very interested to see what he does tonight.
Yeah, so they have four starters who have, or excuse me, three starters who have 10 or more starts this year. Derek Clark, Aiden Major, and Tyler Switalski. That is not going to do it, but Van Kempen has four. Carson Estridge has three. Can they get that to five? I don't know. They ran Hayden Cooper out for a number of innings, kind of extended him lately. He has four starts. That's another transfer, him and Switalski. So you could see a world where they're really healthy. and you're running out in some combination, let's say Clark, Major, Van Kempen, and then you find a way to figure out maybe it's a lefty righty thing. Spetalski's a lefty, Cooper's not. You've got five starters who at least have the arm to do it. They can extend themselves a little bit and go. That's okay. And then there could be a bullpen game in there if you have to, and you can use a guy, Hamilton Oliver, middle innings. You can extend him. You can get him in the sixth, and maybe he can go the rest of the game for you. You might lose him for the rest of the series, but if he wins you that game and you either advance in the winner's bracket or you stay out of the loser's bracket, or you stay alive, I should say, in the loser's bracket, he did his job there. So there are arms. Just the job, there's two jobs right now. One is to actually get to the regional. That's going to require the pitchers to find their form at the right time of the year. Also, too, Chris, their batting order is kind of sneaky all of a sudden, too. They've been looking at some different ideas and trying to figure some stuff out. And I would watch the lineup card tonight because offensively, they've got a hot bat. And what you've seen Randy Mazey do through the years is elevate that hot bat. And I think that I'm not saying their Weatherholt is struggling. And I'm not saying you put it on what's happened behind him at Logan South, but that number two spot has to be really effective. And I wonder if they're going to make a move there and perhaps put West up into that number two spot. He's up to 300 now, Chris, with 11 home runs, 36 RBIs, slugging 600. If you put him behind Weatherholt, you really have to pitch to Weatherholt now. You can't afford to walk Weatherholt because you're near one-on-one out with a guy who can double or homer. Again, Saab has had a better run than he has lately. He's on to just 296 right now, but that average is higher before. And when he's going down, the other guy's going up. Take a look, see what happens.
It's a good idea. And to answer, well, I guess this wasn't really part of it, but postseason hopes for West Virginia, currently number 34. In the RPI for baseball. So looking pretty good. I wouldn't say it's a complete and total lock, but they're on their way for sure.
I don't believe they're going to fill that last schedule spot too. So they have a TBD game. I'm not sure they're going to put anybody in there. So maybe they know something we don't know, but also maybe playing, you know, they've already played Canisius, but maybe playing someone the likes of Canisius isn't going to help them there, whether you win or, knock on wood, lose. If you lose that game on a Tuesday and you just played it for a data point, that's kind of self-destructive. So I wonder if or even why they should fill that game when they have a lot of really good RPI opportunities left in Big 12 play.
Moving on to football now. Not going in any particular order, but going through the question, CMM0016 says, which players will lead the team in rushing, receiving, INTs, and sacks? All right, Mike, let's go. One name answers only. And this is going to be difficult for you, but rushing.
White
as well. Receiving.
Traylon.
Bray with a B.
Which Traylon, though?
Oh, you cheated.
I will come back. I up my odds.
Interceptions.
Garns.
Man, Garns. Sacks.
Bradley.
Vesterinen. Going off the board. All right. Do you want to add to any of that now? I'll give you a chance. I won't hold you to solely one word. Anything you want to extrapolate on?
I'm not really, I didn't really debate the first three very much. Now, if you're talking yards or receptions, that might be different, but like I'm thinking you're talking about receiving yards, right?
I would think so.
And then, but like honestly, I think even receptions, Traylon Ray is going to be a pretty good candidate there. I just think Jaheim White, I think you're going to see more of what you saw last year too. And I think even if Donaldson's healthy, that doesn't hurt. He's a different runner, and you put him in the right situations, that'll be good. Interceptions, have your pick, but just Gardens is going to play a bunch. I think he's going to be in different spots, and they're going to put him in situations where he can be effective and go get the ball. The one I'm curious about is sacks, because they've really put an emphasis on that. That's one reason I like Vic Cabral, is that he's always been productive where he's coached. He's coaching an outside linebacker position. I'm just a fan of Bradley. I watch him move around, and for a guy that big and that thick and that athletic to be at that position, this might be the time for that position to really pop. Not the bandit, the spur now. Prisoner of the moment stuff. I thought he had a really cool interview with us after the game. So I can be bribed, I guess. He was good to us. I can be good to him. But I think there's candidates that can come from the defensive line. I mean, would you be surprised if, like, Trotter had 8 sacks? I don't know. I mean, the guy looks like he knows how to play football. If they're going to be serious about two middle linebackers and those A gaps, that could be a part of the thing they do. I mean, what if Aubrey Burks is a really good pass rusher, like they said at Spear? There's candidates for that one. I'm not as sure as that one as I am the other three.
So Ren Baker can buy off your goodwill with a press box renovation, and Bradley can buy off your praise by giving a good interview. Got it. Got it. Got
Yeah.
it.
The second one's not new.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Weird Ear One asks, who is the leading candidate to replace Frazier as the starting center? It's Brandon Yates, right? Like, I don't think there's much debate there.
I think your question would be, yes, that's the answer. The question would be, is if Rematch is not ready to go, or if they're not happy with Hubbard, would you slide your center over to left guard or right guard and then put Livingston at center? And again, you're just imagine every offensive lineman has a value of 5, let's say. You want to get as close to 25 as you can. And if the combination of, you know, let's say a Hubbard who's not great, let's say, I don't think it's going to happen. But if Hubbard's a 3 and Yates is a 5, but if you move Yates over, he's a 4 and Livingston's a 4, you got eight still. It's not going to be a big difference there. I wonder if they would do that. But if you move Yates from the center to the guard, he's a 5. And Livingston's a 4. Now a 9's better than an 8. Would you do something like that? Don't know how they value that thing with experience, you know, the competition that they've had with each other, the camaraderie they have next to each other. I don't know what those numerical values are. I'm making them up as I go along, but that's how that works. And I just can't see that being a thing that happens right now. I don't, nothing against Livingston, but just not sure he's the guy that's going to move all the pieces around. And I don't think Hubbard's a guy who's played poorly and has cost himself a job in spring football at all. So I'd be shocked if it wasn't Yates right now. I'd be troubled too, right?
Yeah. 2146 Ear asks, says it's year 6 for head coach Neil Brown with COVID, transfer portal, and NIL as obstacles. Nobody could have predicted in 2019. Is this program where it should be entering 2024 based off of expectations when Brown was hired?
No. I mean, it could be good right now, and the answer can still be no.
Okay. Two, the record the first 5 years quickly become part of the process if this one ends in a conference championship game, right?
So I was wondering, this meant, like, do you have to struggle and fall down to get back up and climb? Is that what that means? Like, is this team only capable of winning the Big 12 because it tripped and fell? It stumbled so many times on the way to the top. I think you could do without that, but I think you could explain that this team had to learn how to win through whatever deficiencies caused those losses. Problems with depth, problems with game management, problems with whatever else is on that list. Then sure, you can make that argument. I don't think you go into the process thinking that, but you could certainly ex post facto say, we had to learn to lose. We had to fall on our face, whatever, to avoid the rake, so to speak. You know, you had to get hit in the nose sometimes to realize that hurts and move around the rake.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think it's probably accurate, too. I mean, we've talked a lot about, especially last season, about how they recognized the problems. They recognized the mistakes they had made, and they made changes. That was a big thing for well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I think it was us, I'll say at least me, those first couple years of, oh, my God, they're doing the same thing over and over and making the same mistakes over and over. Last year, a lot of those mistakes were gone. A couple of times when they did lose games, it was because of those same mistakes, but they were happening less and less often. So I think that's a positive sign. I don't know, like you said, I don't know if it's necessary, but I think you can say after the fact, it did help. If, you know, West Virginia, especially if West Virginia has another strong year this year.
I think what's also interesting about this too, and this whole year zero argument, which I'm sure is kind of the facetious, I don't know, background of that question, but Brown's been very forthcoming about after the 2022 season, just hitting reset and starting over. And you could see a lot of that coming to the surface right now. Like, hey, they're going to be a tough team. They're going to strain. They're going to be smart. They're going to tackle a lot. He just figured out some weaknesses they have by watching them play and say, hey, we'll work on that stuff in the offseason. And that's been better. And they believe in a certain caliber of player, and they tried to fix things in their defense. And he's been over that in the spring eloquently and effectively, if you ask me, because it makes a lot of sense. I do wonder, though, where that was after 2021, because they kind of just sleptwalked through a bowl game, lost to a team that really wasn't that good. They scored 6 points, they had 200 yards of offense, and the offense was so bad that they went out and they got Graham Harrell and JT Daniels. And that is such a zag compared to what's happened in the past 16 months. That did they have to fail trying to succeed in a new way? Like so this whole thing we're talking about, big picture, saying they had to have these disappointments and these bad seasons to figure out how to win. Do they have to basically fail and experiment with chemistry on their staff, on their roster, whatever? Not that Daniels was bad or Harrell was bad, but try something different and it didn't work in order to say, you know what? We tried, it didn't work. We fell. We got hit in the nose with the rake on this one. We tried to be different and better. It didn't work. Did they have to have that experience to get to where they are right now, which is they didn't change their defense after the 22 season, and we're kind of rewarded for it. And look who they brought in, young coaches that are eager on the offensive side, someone who fits into what they're trying to do on the side, the other side of the ball defensively with Cabral. So you bring in young coaches who really want to work and energize the offense. You bring in someone who's familiar with what you're doing on defense and also lets your coordinator be that walk-around coach. That's something new and different. Now, 2 years from now, we'll be saying, you know what? Brown got fired because in back-to-back experiments, he tried to do something with his staff and it didn't work, possibly. But 2 years from now, we're saying, wow, I can't believe they won 10 games, you know, or they won 9 games or 2 times in 3 seasons, whatever you want to say. Wow, I can't believe this happened because that's the same team that hired Graham Harrell and got JT Daniels from the portal. But now that makes sense because they tried, they failed, they learned, they moved on. I could see that being true too.
All right. Speaking of moving on, we're moving on to basketball. I know there's a couple people listening to this probably saying, hey, wait, I asked a football question. Congratulations. You're getting your own video. It's coming Wednesday and Friday, so look out for that. Let's go to basketball, and let's start with Preston County. It says, so did 3D, Aaron DeVries, actually, quoting Mike here, have a small army of players on campus this past weekend. Mike, would you like to take the floor on this one?
All right. So I was kind of just playing along with an inside joke, I guess, on the board about people who had seen 6, 8, 12 players on campus with DeVries. My bad. Bad timing. Bad slip on my part. I don't know a whole lot that's happened there, too. I saw DeVries. I saw him with somebody else. And then when I was up in the press box, I recognized the person in the gold long sleeve t-shirt hoodie, grabbed my binoculars, just, hey, man, what's he doing? Who's he talking to? Peeping Tom, maybe. Journalist is what I say. Who is he hanging out with? You know, is it money? Is it donors? Is it admins? Is it, oh, I don't know, an assistant coach from some other conference that they sneaked onto the field? I wasn't sure, so I grabbed my binoculars. I just thought he was with a couple players, and I didn't think anything of it. They could have been his players or other players, but I never put that connection together in my head that those were like the recruits that I referenced in a post-game podcast as a small army of people. I don't have a whole lot on that right now. People have asked me, what are you hearing? I'm trying to crack that safe myself, and I'm trying to find a safe cracker. You know, it's a new regime, new intel, new info, new sources right now, and working on it. You know, I got my ear up to the safe, and I'm just turning that thing, trying to hear the like click and get the right person to talk to me. But at the moment, what you see is what you get. They have offers out to high school players in the future, not in this incoming class. They are still in contact with recruits that we have mentioned, and you know, you and Andrew Chris have done a pretty decent job, I would think, of cataloging all of that to say who is getting contacted, as opposed to saying like so and so has heard from, because those lists on social media are literally like A to W. Like I saw Air Force for one kid in Wyoming, and in between there were like 15 other schools. So I don't know what that means to be on a list that has been contacted by or has heard from. Let's see when they get visits and offers. And at the moment, don't have that for you right now.
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, things are being done, obviously. Like they're not just sitting there being like, cool, we got five. That's all we need. But it was not six visitors, 10 visitors, whatever, you know, everybody was joking about and stuff like that. It is a little more difficult to figure out what's going on. And this is going to tie into a couple of the other questions coming up. But in I know I'm going to make a comparison here, and I don't think anybody needs to look into it anymore. It's just different strokes, and you know, could be anything. But Bob Huggins, when he was at WVU for the spring game, he would go and stand in that end zone with all of the recruits in the wide open, with everybody there, letting them all talk to the recruits, pictures. I mean, there was official USA Today sports images photos of the recruits hanging out with Bob Huggins around the fans. That wasn't happening on Saturday. I think we can all agree on that. That was not happening. Darren DeVries was not standing down there with six, seven, eight recruits walking around with all the football recruits and the fans and stuff on the field. So he's certainly holding things closer to the vest, but they are doing something. They're not doing nothing. I just don't know. But here's the next part of this. This is related from Irish Bill ATL. Why don't we have more hoops roster news? Are any more visits set up this week? What's a realistic timeline to get this roster filled? To address the last part, I think it's going to be more of a piece by piece over the course of several weeks here. I think you could see some more visits happening here this week, like one or two. Names, don't know yet. Vaughn Small is still a realistic option as of late last night. Excuse me, late Monday night, depending on when you're listening to this. But they got feelers out. Again, there's been 20 kids that have said, oh, I've been contacted by WVU. Like Mike noted, being contacted by could mean a million things. It could just be, you know, a graduate assistant sending a quick DM to say, hey, are you actually in the portal? Or do you already know where you're going? And that's it. And you got to do that kind of research. There will be guys that'll be more serious. You know, guys that you've already got connections with, Chester Frazier, or Frazier has already done that with several guys. So I expect one to two names to pop up later this week, this first week of May, and then a couple more after the week after that, a couple more the week after that. I think because, sorry to ramble here, but there's also this angle of if you bring in like eight guys all at once, you don't know who you're getting and what's going to happen and what roles they're going to fill. So I think the more logical process here is, all right, here we are with our five. What were our two biggest needs now? And then you go target those two types of guys. You know, oh, need a point guard, need another big. go target a point guard and another big. Once you get those two guys, then you go, okay, now what do we need? Oh, I'd love to have another shooter off the bench. Now you go target that guy. If you bring all these guys on at once, you don't know what you have or don't have until they actually commit, and it's all happening at once. So I like the idea of going one or two at a time.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question here, because you mentioned his name, and you pointed this out, I think, before anybody else, and it made sense, too, once we all saw the chips settle. They hired Frazier as their big assistant coach, and that came with a price tag. And the price tag went toward the allotment that they're allowed to pay their assistant coaches. You could say there's money involved in the recruiting process too. That's not what I'm getting at here too. But do you need to have your air quotes here, your Chester Frazier from the portal and figure out who fits around him? And they might have that already. I understand what Tucker DeVries. However, with these remaining spots, are they looking for a point guard, let's say, and you figure out who can play with the point guard? There might be different caliber point guards out there, Chris, with different skills. Maybe they want to get a five, but if your five is a very skilled scorer, maybe that changes who and what you put around him. If your five is a guy who's going to bang and rebound and block shots, that also changes who and what you need and put around him too. Do you see that keystone player looming? And then from there, again, going off what you're saying in this space right now, you build around that part. And all right, I got the one big piece here. I want to play like this, so I will also need, as an accessory or to amplify this key piece's skills, I need a blank. I need a blank. Could it be that simple right now? Like they're trying to reel in a big fish? Or someone who just gives this roster a direction it might not currently have. Big fish might be the wrong word.
Yeah, I think it's that's a good idea. And point guard, it's funny you bring that up, because I think that is where it is. I think that's where the focus is. And when I say point guard, I'm talking ball handler, and I'm not talking ball dominant. And there is a difference. You don't need the guy who needs the ball all the time, because you already have Tucker DeVries, who is going to be a prominent ball handler. So I think right now, at least based off of who they've contacted and some of the guys they've, you know, and not just contacted, but actually talked with and tried to set up a visit for, that would be an idea, is a point guard, somebody who is a good solid point guard. And yeah, I do think it is an option of, hey, you got to get the big piece. And I do believe NIL is going to be playing a part here, because just like you have a budget for coaches, you're going to have a budget for NIL. And if you got to spend, you know, you want this guy and you got $1 million to spend, you got to figure out how much the big guy, the big piece costs, or you can go out and spend that money on the other pieces to put around him. So there's some moving parts here, and I think it's smarter and more logical. Like it just makes sense to go one to two pieces at a time to fill out your roster instead of eight all at once.
I also think
just because
you saw things happen a certain way here the past couple of years, that does not mean that is the only way to do the job. Just a different time right now. You have different people in the position with different ideas, I'm sure. So, you know, it could be DeVries, it could be Nelson Hernandez. They might just have a different tack than Bob Huggins and Jay Kuntz did, and it doesn't mean it's wrong. It might not overlap and be a note-for-note rendition of the other, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong, too. What about the timetable, Chris? Not only with when they have to have this done just for the purpose of quantity and quality, but the recruiting windows and when are there events they can go to, junior college players come into this mix too. Like there's a lot of dates here, and I would even say flexibility opportunity as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some dead period time coming up here in May. It's also going to be AAU season. This isn't the best time to be recruiting high school guys, but there are going to be guys that slip through the cracks too. I mean, Overton from Drake, who was a big time target for a lot of people. I mean, Drake got him late. And then he came into the transfer portal, and he was a big time target for a lot of programs because he excelled during his freshman season. He wasn't a guy that Drake got until about this point last year. So there is chance of something like that. I do think most of the focus is going to be on transfers. There is a dead period in the middle of May, but let's say, you know, you're at five players right now. You'd hope they're getting to at least eight or nine over the next couple of weeks. And then you can kind of piece together those last couple parts over the course of the summer.
How many starters are currently on the roster?
DeVries, Right? We're good there. Okani?
That might be it for me.
Yeah, I see all these guys as part of the rotation for sure. Man, if you could make Ohtani that like sixth guy that comes off the bench and can do everything, or Sincere Harris. Ideally, one, because that means you're getting better players coming in, and these guys you already think are pretty good. But maybe it's two.
Yeah.
But maybe it's two, and then you're adding around it. So yeah. I would say WVU fans are hoping it's only one. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I just wonder what they do with Hansberry and DeVries. Like, how do they put them together?
Yeah.
Who's the three? Who's the four in that situation? Or is I don't – if Hansberry is really close to the 6'6 and 6'8, I don't know that you can ask that guy to be playing the 5 in the Big 12. We'll see.
Let's see. There was one last question, and then we got to wrap it up because also news is coming down. I guess I'll just
about
say
that?
It right here.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Cornerback Montre Miller is in the portal. Hey, Chris, why are they getting another defensive back in Dontez Fagan? I don't understand. There's your answer, folks. There's your answer.
So West Virginia got a waiver, right?
Yeah.
And the kid left.
They got a waiver early for him too, because usually I didn't feel like they ruled on those until later. And yeah, okay,
incredible.
Last question, Yidio 10, what are you hearing in regards to the assistant basketball coaching search? Mike, I want to pop in and say kind of similar thing to the roster, like they got like a couple of their key guys and now they're hanging loose maybe.
Yeah, it really hasn't changed since the last time we updated it, where we mentioned a couple of names that were out. We thought those people are still out. We also mentioned that, like, no doesn't mean no. It just means not now, because some people are looking at different opportunities. So, hypothetically, if you're looking at, let's just say Larry Drew, and I don't think this is going to happen, but, like, if he couldn't get the thing he wanted because the money wasn't there or whatever, but all of a sudden the West Virginia job is still open, maybe that comes back. Then you have people who have other opportunities. Like if you like Deshaun Butler might be more inclined to be coaching in the professional level. If he wants to pursue that for as long as he can, but the Mountaineers still like him and he comes back and says, didn't work out for me, I'd like to, you know, stick with my alma mater. Hey, we still got a spot for you in the bench. Things like that can work. And then also it's not the priority right now. They got three guys in, like they have a coaching staff that would have worked 2 years ago. They can actually like do the recruiting now, make people like stop hyperventilating, worry on the roster, and then come back and fill out those two spots in the bench. Especially they have people who they know have identified and interviewed, and you can get that stuff done pretty quickly. So nothing has changed. It's not worse than it was before. It's not better. It's not falling apart though.
Well, Mike, I think that covers all the questions that were in the mailbag, other than the two that we are saving for the 3-minute videos later in the week. So folks, keep an eye out for that one. And get over to the message board, because I'm going to hop right off here and put that Montre Miller news up and go from there.
Until then, I'm Mike Casaza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
Miller time.